Well, welcome to Sunday School, everyone. We're going to be in our quarterly for the week of August 23rd, which is going to cover 1 John chapter 5. Let's open with some prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for how you love us. You love us so deeply, so dearly. Lord, how could we stay away? How could we not come to you and pray? How do we stay out of your word? Lord, how do we allow the cares of this world to overcome that which should be so dear? Lord, we repent of the time that we have not come, the time that we have not spent, the time that we have not counted dear. And we pray that even this time would be such as would just be even a new beginning of a commitment. And even more than that, even more than just a commitment, but just an absolution, like that, Lord, we would just come before you and that we would spend time with you. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word, and we pray that by your Spirit it is applied to our hearts, that we would look more and more like your Son, in whom we expect to come, and we look forward to his coming. May we be vigilant. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. So we have before us 1 John chapter 5. I'm really loving this study of 1 John. It's one of those studies that I would pray as the Lord continues to give me breath and the ability to speak, and that I would be able to expound verse by verse in a bit of a slower, more applicable, and by the Lord Himself, just a powerful way. Maybe just a series in the future. But we have before us this time that we are able to look at 1 John in the form of a Sunday school lesson, and so we're going to be looking at the entire chapter. So we're going to be talking through some of the major issues here, and but most of all, just spending time with the Lord, being thankful for God our Father and the life that we have in His Son, Jesus Christ. So let's begin reading at verse 1, and then our lesson has us all the way through verse 21. So if you have your quarterly, we're on page 36. If you have your Bible, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is He who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. These three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he is born concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin, not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. Those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray against that. All wrongdoing is sin. But there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. But he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God in eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. All right, so let's begin back in verse 1. A few things we'd like to touch here. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this, we know that we love the children of God. And when we love God and obey his commandments. These things bring to mind some big picture items that I think would be wise for us to focus on this morning. Some big picture items, and those are love. What kind of love? The love of God. And then the love that we show one another because we have been loved. Secondly, the second big picture item, Father. The Father. No matter where we are and no matter what our family situation may be or may have been in this world, when we are loved by God, and when we have been set free by his Son to love him, he is our Father. He is our Father. He cares for us. And when we are loved like that, we therefore are set free to love in a way that we formerly would not have had any type of capacity to do so, to love others. We loved others at best with one eye on ourselves to care for us and with one eye towards someone else. But when we know we are loved, we are set free that we may put both eyes upon our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we may love. For we know we stand secure in Him. We know that He who keeps us will not slumber or sleep. We know that He has prevailed. We know that He has won the victory on our behalf, and we will reign victorious in Him if we are in Him. For we must be hidden with Christ in God when the day of trouble comes. If we are in Him, we will be hidden in the cleft of that rock, Jesus Christ. And no matter what earthquake or shaking or storm may come, we will be safe in the bosom of our Lord. Though all earth pass away, we will have Him. There's a song that I've quoted before in a sermon, but it's so applicable to this. It's a song by Christian artist from more or less yesteryear. Still around, but like the rest of it, he's getting older. His name is Todd Agnew, and he says in one of his songs that is entitled, "Can I Be With You?" And the song really comes from, you can almost feel it, this place of proper insecurity in understanding and realizing that my security must be found in my God, for it will be found nowhere else. And he says, when the skies turn black, when the skies turn dark, and the sun and all the suns of this universe fall upon themselves, basically. When God rolls up the scroll of His creation, and when He remakes it, when He shall come and He shall dwell with His people, as we catch a glimpse of His plan in the revelation of John. Todd Agnew simply says, "Can I be with you?" When all of this happens, when you do, O Lord God, our Father, these things which you have promised, the only thing that will not move when you come again, it will be you, where you are. Because it is where you are that I must be. And that's why John says, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world." And the vehicle for that and the victory that leads us to victory, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Not our blind faith, but our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, he begins in a very interesting section. He says in verse 6, "This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. These three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son." So if we were to ask, what testimony are we talking about? We're talking about the testimony of the work, the finished work of Jesus Christ. We're talking about the testimony of the gospel of the Son of God. And he says that we have three witnesses in the days of Jews and the Jewish law. You would have three witnesses to come together or to witness the truth of something. And without those three witnesses, there was not a completeness to the testimony. But God is saying there is a completeness to this testimony of the Jesus Christ, of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in the gospel. Because we have these three witnesses, and we don't have three fluffy, very, what can you say, kind of suspicious witnesses. Oh yeah, this guy saw what happened. And the rest of the court goes, yeah, right. Like we can really trust him. No, we don't have those kind of witnesses. We don't have these shady witnesses. We have the Spirit of God. God himself, who works in us, who dwells in us when we believe in him, the Son of God. We have that one is a witness. We also have the water and the blood. Okay, and for our minds, we may not be able to place these things together, or they may not in the beginning or in our first reading of this, and it may not, it's probably not your first reading. This is probably for some of you maybe your 200th reading of these words, but maybe you haven't stopped and considered the importance of water and blood as testimony to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But our curriculum professor here, doctor, he points us back to the book of Zechariah, which I think is a wonderful place to look for this. Because how are we going to tie water and blood to the gospel of Jesus Christ as a witness of him? Let's go back to Zechariah chapter 12. I'm going to read a short section for Zechariah because John in his gospel is going to quote Zechariah. And so we need to have this at the forefront of our minds. So Zechariah chapter 12 verse 10 says, "And I will pour out my spirit of compassion and supplication on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that when they look on the one whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and weep bitterly over him as one weeps over a firstborn. On that day, the mourning in Jerusalem will be as great as the mourning for Hadan Rimmon in the plain of Megiddo. The land shall mourn, each family by itself, the family of the house of David by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Nathan by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Levi by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the Shemites by itself, and their wives by themselves, and all the families that are left, each by itself, and their wives by themselves. Picking up then in 13 verse 1, listen to this. On that day, what day? Going back to verse 11, on that day the mourning in Jerusalem will be great. Going back now to verse 10, I will pour out my spirit of compassion and supplication on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So when they look on the one whom they have pierced, they shall mourn. It will be on that day. Back to chapter 13, verse 1. On that day, a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and iniquity. So we have been given a witness to the gospel of God. For when he was pierced, what happened? Blood and water. That is what flowed from his side. His side that was riven for us. Blood and water, which symbolize cleansing. Cleansing. In the temple, there was baths. Baths of water in which you would go down and you would put the objects of worship from the temple, the pots and so forth, you would put them, and the same word was used for baptize. You would place them in the water. You would place water over them. You would baptize them. You would cleanse them. And John is saying, we have this witness that we have water and now we have blood. We have not just been cleansed by water, but we have been cleansed by the blood. And that blood has not been, as the author of Hebrews says, the blood of bulls and goats which could not save. But that blood is the blood of the Son of God, who has come as a man to suffer for us and to die for us. And the Spirit bears witness and has borne witness, I pray, in your own heart of these things. If this is not the reality in your own heart, that you have been born witness of the gospel of the good news of the Son of God and his cleansing of your own sin. And in that cleansing, making you a son of God. Then I would challenge you this morning. I would challenge you, I would ask you, I would plead with you. If you are hearing this, the Spirit is calling upon your heart. He is giving and bearing witness to the things which have been done on your behalf by the Son of God. Listen to him. Listen to his voice. Do not turn away. God is being gracious to you. He is revealing his word to you. For he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that all should have eternal life, life unending, life with him. Life where you will be hidden in him when the scroll of this world is rolled up. For there will be no other place to hide. There will be no other place to run to. The scripture says that in that day, those who are not found in him, they will cry. They will weep and they will plead that the mountains would fall upon them and bring an end to their suffering. For they were not able to find a respite. They were not able to find a hope. They were not able to find rest. There will be one place of rest. There will be one God Almighty. There will be one Father. Are you his son or his daughter? For if you are, you will love one another. You will love those whom you now call brothers and sisters. And we will realize that we have the Spirit of Christ, that we are able to overcome the world, not in ourselves, but because of him. Because we have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son, the kingdom of light. And by being transferred from one kingdom to another, the kingdom of darkness is ruled by the evil one, by Satan himself. And when you are a member of the kingdom of darkness, you are his. He has control over this world. He is the prince of the power of the air. But when you are transferred to the kingdom of light, when the chains of sin have been broken, and when you walk victorious in Jesus Christ, you are no longer of your father, the devil, but you are of your Father, God Almighty. And when you are his, the words of Matthew chapter 7 just ring in my ears. So let's read them a little bit. You may live in such a way as to think Matthew 7:7, to pray Matthew 7:7, ask it and it will be given you. Search and you will find, knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? He says, in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. But I'd like to end this time and this discussion on 1 John 5, as we've talked about many, many and alluded to many, many different passages. How much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Why? Because we have been given a good gift. We have been made joint heirs with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and we will be with him. Because God is our Father. Please bask. Please let the warmth of those truths radiate even if your heart is cold today, let it be warmed, encouraged. Find faith in these truths. Your Father loves you, and He cares for you. Now we are set free to love one another and to have communion in perfect relationship with Him. Our time is away. Thank you for listening. See you next week.